Hi there, it's Jules here, and welcome to module 4 of Tired and Hungry Dinners, which is all about no extra time preparation or no extra time prep. And all the recipes in this module are all about flashing the pans as things that cook super quick and don't need much prep. So in this video, we're going to go through how to master the art of prep without spending extra time in the kitchen. Then we'll look at my secret to getting organized, even if you have like zero time. And then we'll go through my 15 favorite preparation, what I call hacks or tricks. And then we'll look at what's coming up next. So let's get started. So how to master the art of prep without spending extra time in the kitchen. So the preparation or prep part of cooking isn't the most exciting. If you think about it, that's where the apprentices start. Here's 100 kilos of potatoes, get peeling. But without some sort of prep, there isn't much cooking you can get done. While this course is really focused on keeping the effort that goes into cooking as minimal as possible, you'll notice that it's not called zero effort cooking. And there's a very good reason for that. But that being said, I'm a huge believer in the concept of no extra time prep. So there are plenty of ways you can really get the most out of the time that you're already spending in the kitchen. And that's what we're talking about here. So my tip number one is to bulk it. Now, cooking in bulk can sound a little off-putting, I know, but this idea is really my biggest go-to when I'm looking to get food prepped without extra time. It usually only takes a few more minutes to double or triple a recipe, and you end up with pretty much free time food. Yay! So for example, this week I made a double batch of chili con carne. It took an extra minute to cut up the extra onion and a few seconds to open an extra can of tomatoes, and that's pretty much it. So we ate the first serving for dinner the other night, and now I have leftovers stored in the fridge to have for lunches this week, or if needed, I can have it for another dinner, you know, one night next week. So the same goes, the same night we had the chili, I made some cauliflower rice, which is just raw grated cauliflower to go with it. And rather than just cooking enough, grating and getting the food processor dirty and grating just enough for that meal, I grated the whole cauliflower and stored the rest in the fridge. And I've been having it for breakfasts and lunches, tossing it into salads. So I'm getting a bit of extra veg. So really two of my favorite things. So what types of meals are good to cook in bulk? Basically anything slow cooked, so most roast dishes. Sometimes, of course, you'll need an extra roasting tray, but you've usually got a couple of shelves in the oven that you can use. Also, you know, soups and curries are really great for cooking in bulk. So I tend to avoid bulk cooking things that won't reheat so well, so things like, you know, steak or pan-fried chicken. And I also avoid bulk cooking things where it's important to get a lot of heat into the pan quickly. So for things like stir fries, I don't find that you get any benefit from doubling the recipe there. It can actually mean your original stir fry isn't as nice. But remember, it doesn't have to be a whole meal. So it could be where you just prep an extra side or a component, like grating my cauliflower rice example, or cooking up, you know, if you're cooking some kale, cooking up an extra bunch rather than just cooking one. Okay, now we'll move on to, so my tip number two is multitasking. So normally in life, I'm not a big fan of multitasking because it tends to make us less efficient because you've got that switching time between tasks. But there are times in the kitchen where it makes total sense to multitask. For example, last night I put a tray of sweet potato in the oven to bake while I was cooking another meal on the stovetop. So I set the timer, and when the sweet potato was tender, I just got it out, let it cool, and then popped it in the fridge to have for dinner another night. It literally took me a few seconds to turn on the oven, rinse the sweet potato, pop them in a baking tray, and set the timer, and now I have it ready to use. Another example of multitasking might be cooking a big pot of lentils or rice while you're making another meal. All you got to do is just bring the pot to the boil, add the lentils or rice or quinoa, whatever, set your timer, and then drain when the timer goes off. So we'll go into more depth. I've got a heap more examples of this in my prep hacks a little bit later in this video. So number three is outsourcing. So this is an idea I've shared previously, but it's also helpful, but I think it's really helpful, so it's worth repeating. So there aren't any prizes for prepping all your ingredients from scratch. If using pre-washed salad leaves, for example, makes your life easier and means that you're more likely to have a home-cooked meal, then absolutely go for it. Then number four is to start small. So I'm a huge believer in the power of taking baby steps, because one of the biggest reasons we fail is when it comes to making changes in our lives is biting off more than we can chew, so to speak. So remember, it's really important to start small and make it almost impossible for yourself to fail, and then you'll actually get some momentum going. You'll be able to take one step at a time, and you'll build from there. And then finally, we're looking at building habits in terms of mastering the art of prep without spending extra time in the kitchen. So building habits into your life is really the secret weapon for putting your prep on autopilot. And we'll go into the next section to cover off more on habits. So the secret to getting organized, even when you're super short on time. So getting organized in the kitchen or anywhere else in life for that matter can seem overwhelming at times. It happens to me too. So what's the secret? I've found that the best way is to focus on building habits. So as I mentioned earlier, this is my secret weapon for putting prep on autopilot. So everything runs almost without you having to give it a second thought. So here are my four steps to developing your prep habits. So step one is to identify which prep habit you want to form. So this is really a personal thing, but if you're stuck for ideas, check out my 15 prep hacks a little later in this video to give you some ideas, and then just brainstorm a list of what you'd like to develop. Then step two is to choose one habit to focus on first. So this is super important, but you need to decide which habit you want to go after first. So remember, the secret to making changes in your life is to set small goals and to really take baby steps. So by setting ourselves up for success, we gain the confidence and motivation to keep making changes one after the other. It also helps us persevere and try again when we fail. If you had some success, it's easier to get going again when you have an inevitable fail. So even though you might be tempted to do more, focus on one habit at a time. This is really super important. Then step number three is to develop a plan. So there are three parts to any habit. So first is the trigger or the cue that starts the whole process. The second is the action that you take during the habit. And the third is the reward that you get. So in order to change your habit, you need to identify a new trigger and a new reward and possibly a new action. So for example, if your target habit is to cook a batch of lentils or beans every week, your trigger might be, okay, it's Monday night, and then the action is that you soak the beans. Of course, you don't need to do this for lentils. And then your next trigger would be Tuesday night, and your action would be to cook the beans that have been soaking on the sink while you get dinner ready on Tuesday night. And then your reward is being able to use the beans for some meals during the rest of the week. Or you might like to choose a completely separate reward. It just needs to be something that gets you motivated, and you're the best person to know that. So moving on to step number four, if you fail, keep trying. So making changes in your life can be tough, and it's guaranteed that there will be setbacks along the way. It's a given no matter how dedicated you are. The key thing to remember is that you only fail when you give up or quit trying. So the answer is to treat failures as learning experiences and just keep trying. Great. So now we're going to look at my 15 preparation hacks, as I've called them. So hack number one is don't peel your veg. So I know I've covered this before, but it's one of my biggest time savers. And not only that, you get less waste, plus many of the nutrients are in or super close to the skin, so you're getting much more from your veg as well. And in that photo there, I've got some roast butternut squash or pumpkin that I've just roasted whole, and then I've sliced, chopped it in half after it's been roasted, and it's a million times easier to cut once it's cooked rather than trying to chop through a butternut squash when it's raw. So just a little example for you. Okay, hack number two is cooking a pot of lentils. So at least once every 2 weeks, I cook up a simple pot of what I call lovely lentils. There's a link to the recipe I use in the written notes. I love them because they don't need any soaking. It only takes about 20 minutes for them to cook. Plus, their lentils are higher in protein and fiber than other beans or greens, so they're actually the best option nutritionally. So then my hack number three is cooked greens or wilted greens. So I try and have eggs and some form of veggie for breakfast at least 5 days a week. And I've really found if I cook up a big batch of greens, like some, for example, kale, spinach, chard or silver beet or collard greens, then I'm much more likely to have my veg in the morning. Hack number four is roast whole veg. So sweet potato is my favorite veg to roast at the whole at the moment because Fergal, my two-year-old, really loves it. But don't feel limited. I also roast whole butternut squash, beets, carrots, and parsnips from time to time. So the beauty of roasting whole veg is that you just have to pop it in the oven. There's no cutting or prep that needs to happen before you do that. Okay. Hack number five, a big pot of beans or chickpeas. So if I don't have lentils cooked that I mentioned earlier, my other go-to is a big pot of beans or chickpeas. You use the same method for both. I've included the link to my 8-hour baked beans if I'm looking for something a bit fancier. Then hack number five is cooking a pot of rice/quinoa/pasta. So I don't have these higher carb options that often these days, but when I do, my method for cooking them is basically the same. I boil them in a big pot of water until they're tender and then drain them. Just keep it really simple. So I've included specific instructions for cooking rice and cooking quinoa. There's recipes for each of those in the written notes. And the beauty of cooking grains and pasta like this and cooling them before eating is that you actually reduce the amount of digestible carbohydrates. So it changes the carbs into something, some of the carb into something that's called resistant starch. And if you've ever had seen Wonder White bread that's really white but it's high fiber, they're actually using resistant starch in that to get you to get the fiber content up without having the kind of texture that you'd normally associate with high fiber foods. So you're actually making your own resistant starch when you cook things like rice and pasta and cool it down at home for free, which is great. So it's actually making your grains or your pasta healthier by cooking them in advance and cooling them down and then re-heating them before you eat. Okay, number seven, grated raw veg. So I love using grated raw cauliflower in place of rice. I've found that while I'm getting my food processor dirty, it makes sense to grate extra veg. So cauliflower is probably my favorite, but I also sometimes mix it up and include some carrots and beet and even some broccoli to have. And I pop it in the fridge and pull it out to use in salads and for breakfasts and for lunches and for other dinners as well. So it's just a really easy way to get some extra raw veg into your life. Number eight, grilled veg. So whenever we fire up our charcoal barbecue, I try and have something extra to cook for another meal, usually after we've cooked dinner and eaten. So it might be something like grilled zucchini pictured here or red peppers. Or other times I'll cook onions in the coals. Just depends on what we've got. Hack number nine is, and this is one of my favorites at the moment and something, a new discovery. So keeping salad dressing on the table. So it's something I've only started doing recently, and it makes getting a salad ready to serve as a side super easy. So what I do is I mix up a big batch of salad dressing every few weeks. And so it's usually about, 4 to 6 tablespoons of vinegar, a couple of tablespoons of mustard, and a cup of extra virgin olive oil. And then I mix that and put it into a dark glass bottle. And then I just keep that bottle sealed on the dining room table. And all the ingredients that are in there are shelf stable, so they're completely fine to sit around for a few weeks. And then when it comes to dinner time, all I have to do is get my washed salad, pre-washed salad leaves, pop them in a bowl, and then pop the bowl on the table. And then while we're eating, at some point I put the dressing on the salad and toss it. So it doesn't actually take me any extra time to get the meal ready. And I'm really finding that it makes a huge difference to the number of salads we're having. And then hack number 10, don't brown or soften before slow cooking. So slow cooked dishes take minimal prep if you skip the browning of the meat and the softening of any veg like onions, etc. So you will miss some of the extra flavor development, but it's really minimal compared to how much effort you're going to be saving. So I can't remember the last time I made a slow cooked dish and I actually bothered to brown the meat or anything first. The only note I would make there is I do all my slow cooking in the oven because I don't like to have a slow cooker in the house. And in the oven, you do get the brown, you get browning reactions happening. But if you're using an electric slow cooker, most of them don't give you any browning. So you might still need to brown before if you're using a slow cooker. But just try it out and see what you think. Okay, number 11, pack lunches as you're serving dinner. So I have a stash of Pyrex glass containers with plastic lids pictured here that I use for storage and also for lunches. So by serving up the lunches at the same time as I'm dishing out dinner, it means that it's done. So in the morning, I just need to grab something from the fridge and send it to work with my Irishman. I don't have to mess around with prepping lunch for him. And an added bonus of this is if the food's already allocated to lunch, then we're less likely to go back for seconds and eat more than we should during the meal. Number 12, chop veg for snacks. So here's a bit of honesty time here. So I actually don't do this at the moment, but I have in the past. Getting into the habit of having some carrots and peppers, whatever you like, snow peas, celery, sticks, chopped and ready to eat and munch on as a snack is a really great way to incorporate more veg. I know my sister does do this. But at the moment I'm pregnant and I'm much happier to reach for a handful of almonds, cashews, or Brazil nuts. Chopped veg aren't really doing it for me, but just an idea. Hack number 13, fermented veg. I've mentioned this before in the course, but this is another one that's really changed my life. So having sauerkraut or some sort of fermented veg like the pickled carrots pictured there in the fridge is brilliant for being able to just pull the jar out, plonk it on the table, and you've got an instant extra serving of veg added to your meal. Hack number 14, almost at the end, harvest and store your garden produce. So this won't apply to everyone, but if you do grow your own anything, here's the thing I found. If I pick my veg or salads on the weekend or in the evening when I'm actually out in the garden, and then wash them and store them in the fridge, I'm much more likely to eat them than if I just leave the picking till cooking time. If it's time for dinner and the salad leaves are still out in the garden, it's very rare that I can dash out and grab them. We're more likely to skip the salad. Okay, and number 15, the favorite final hack, Sunday baking sessions. So I've always loved baking, but since becoming a mother, there have been two kind of big changes. First, I've started baking most weekends in what Fergal and I like to call as Sunday baking sessions, a bit of mother and son bonding time. And secondly, I've ditched the whole white sugar and white flour and moved to baking with real whole food ingredients. So they're still sweet treats, but I feel a bit less guilty about feeding them to my little one and to me. So coming up in module 5, which is actually a surprise bonus, we've got a heap of recipes for sweet treats. So I'll leave that to the next module for you to explore those if you're interested. And if you're looking for more ideas for preparation hacks, encourage you to check out the Organized Cook program here at the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School when you've finished with Tired and Hungry Dinners, of course, because that's got a whole four or five module program devoted entirely to things that you can do to prep. It's not only prepping ingredients, but also do ahead meals. So might be a good one for you to check out. Great. And then finally, what's coming up next? It's homework time. So if you remember, we just spoke about starting small. So now's your chance. So I really challenge you to choose one new thing that you're going to prep this week while you're already in the kitchen. So it might be making a double batch of something or flexing your multitasking muscles and roasting some veg while you cook another meal. But I'd really love to hear what you're planning to try in the comments below. And just so you know, I do read and respond to all the comments. So, and I really want to hear from you. I really want to hear what's getting you excited and what you're going to try soon. And then next week, as I mentioned earlier, we've got our surprise module on real food treats coming up next. Thanks for listening.